Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I hope to open the conversation about working parents a bit. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier, to find out how they balance being a dad with a successful career. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, welcome to the IGN UK podcast. My name is Gavin Murphy, and today I'm joined by two very delightful young gentlemen. The prize of Northern Ireland.
Rory. Magic powers.
Rory.
Sorry,
Rory. That is
Trevor.
And
Jeremy.
Blackburn's most
Blackborn.
Most well endowed.
Sequel to Bloodborne.
Most well endowed son. Daniel Krupa.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. How would you know that?
I call it the Zweihander.
Dark Souls jokes. That's
Dark
good.
Dark Souls jokes. Getting off at a good start.
Yeah. How are you guys doing? What have you been doing?
Dark Souls. You just mentioned it. Lots of Dark Souls.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah.
Can we just mention it briefly?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can say whatever you want.
We're playing Dark Souls.
Yeah.
There you go.
Cool.
Done.
Oh, I don't know if you can mention that. We're playing a game that came out in 2011.
When's the embargo? When's the embargo lift on it?
Good questions. Embargoes.
Yeah, the three of us are trying to get through Dark Souls with Rory on camera.
Yeah.
Before Dark Souls 3 comes out. That's going live on the site next week if you want to see how Rory gets on.
So imagine it's just like a podcast with the three of us, except...
we're also playing Dark Souls.
And it's a video. There's some differences.
I wonder, this is an interesting thing about like podcasts and Let's Plays and stuff in general. Like, I wonder if you put that out as just an audio thing, how many people will be interested
There's a group of people called, they used to, I think, work for...
I love if you were like, YouTubers.
They used to work for Machinima, actually, and now I think they're part of Rooster Teeth. They're called Funhouse.
Okay.
And they do podcasts, where it's just like, they just talk, do conversations, but at the same time...
Is it the twins from Funhouse?
It's not. But at the same time, one of the guys is... playing a video game.
Yeah.
And they're all just kind of watching him, but they do the podcast like while he's playing the game.
And but they put the audio version of that out as well.
Yeah, you can listen to the audio version. Mm. Which then sometimes
are
they'll
they
all
commentating
like,
on what he's doing.
Only if something like exciting happens. But then also it means you can like they stream it on Twitch where it's like a podcast.
Okay.
And then also you can watch the video one.
Oh,
so it's like watching
that.
A Let's Play and a podcast and
we've been watching slash
motivating,
enduring Rory.
You've been yelling at me, insulting me.
I stuck up for you today.
Well, shoving me in lockers, taking my lunch money.
I'm sometimes tough on him,
yeah.
But it's tough love. It's because I love him and I want to get to the end of it that I'm hard on him.
Well, I just have a really...
It's not all going to be like, oh, you're doing amazing today when you're not.
Yeah, I just have a really good time because you make stupid... You never played it before.
No.
And...
I feel like a lot of people aren't going to hang on to that fact for too long. Like, I'll be dying to people and they'll be like, this guy sucks! And it's like, well, that's the point. I've never played...
People know it's a challenge.
But you do get better, though.
I am getting better.
Yeah.
But then I still make stupid mistakes.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
Like, that's the thing. I think sometimes it's like two steps forward, one step back.
Yeah.
With you.
One step back into poison.
Or
one step back off a cliff.
Yeah, just a crazy roll for no reason.
Yeah. I love it.
So, yeah, for context, if you really played Dark Souls, we just managed to get to the bottom of Blighttown today. Mm.
Which is a notoriously
difficult area that a lot of people actually quit on.
Yeah.
Not this guy.
No, you kept on rolling.
Not this guy.
But, like, it's a slow start because, like, in the first couple of episodes, I was like, God, this is going to take ages. But then. in the last three sittings that we've done, and we do kind of like two or three hour sittings, yeah. there's been something cool that happened.
We've got through some bosses.
Like, or something still have, mostly bad.
Or something bad, just like also, generally hilarious. Like insanity.
We do have a long way to go, but we'll get there, and it'll be an amazing journey.
We've got a long way to go, but a short time.
Who do you think's
going to
stab someone first? Out
like,
of
like Smoking the Bandit.
Great. I've like never seen Smoking the Bandit.
Haven't you?
No. So I didn't grow up in 1970.
Neither did I. But I...
defensive. I like, yeah, but in Wales, I like you good chase films. It's a bit of time delay in Wales.
Oh, come on. You're better than that. One thing there's not a time delay on, and that is Rocket League.
Yes!
We're back
just excited, about Rocket League.
We are back
I'm
in Rocket
element.
League in a big way.
Let's do it.
Like they did a big update, Rocket League Season 2.
With mutators and all that.
With mutators and stuff. Mm-hmm. I really like the... we don't tend to play on them that much. We did it like that one day.
We played it yesterday or the day before that.
Friday. It doesn't matter. We're getting bogged down in the details.
Yeah, I like that. But they've also just brought out the Batmobile.
Yeah.
Good. Well, they're bringing it. It's out tomorrow.
Yeah, but that's when this will go live.
Yeah.
So there you go.
It's out.
It's out. Sorry.
Jesus Christ.
I'm grasping this.
Days aren't your thing. You know days aren't your thing.
You know cartoons aren't live. They put a tremendous strain on the animator's wrist.
But yeah, so they're bringing out the Batmobile, and we started thinking about what other awesome vehicles from like movies, TV, would we like to see in Rocket League? And we've come up with some good ones. Krupa, you kick us off. What do you want to see in it?
So first up, unsurprisingly, I'm going to go for the 1992 Ford Explorer XLT, mm-hmm. otherwise known as the tour vehicle in Jurassic Park.
Nice.
Good choice.
This is the one. This is not the gas-powered Jeep.
Okay.
That we have to get later on.
No,
the vets have. This is the one that's on the tracks that takes the people around the park. It's the one with the night vision goggles back.
Yeah.
And come on.
There's a lot of cool things.
I reckon
you can
that would be
that.
Like, it's like, it's got a big hitbox, quite a big stocky vehicle.
Yeah.
It's not very low down like this and the other, so maybe good in defense.
Yeah.
Also, I think when you press boost, mm-hmm. I want like a double helix coming out of the back.
Oh, yeah.
With bits of DNA flying off place.
Nice.
That's cool.
You know, a fundamental amino
and maybe
acid
like a,
splintering off.
Maybe like a
get
dun,
a bit of adenine
dun,
in the
dun,
face.
Dun, 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 like as you're
absolutely.
Going down the field.
That's
cool.
That's got to be the goal, though, right?
No, well, I there is music that plays when you're doing that, so you could do dun dun.
For the trail.
Yeah, for
is
trail.
The trail.
The music
when you boost,
does it come
yeah.
down. When you score, maybe just a big roar.
I don't know. I think I'd rather have the like as you score.
Well, that's boost.
But that's
yeah,
too long,
boost,
though.
Yeah.
Like, I think you want that
you
as you're going for the
circles,
shot.
Yeah.
And then when you hit it, then it's like the...
Yeah.
Because the thing when you score, you want it like a punctuation
yeah,
mark.
Yeah,
you know what would
yeah,
be cool as well?
Sense.
If custom cars were able to change some of the messages you had. So instead of like, what a save, you could write like, where's the goat? Where's the goat?
Nice.
That'd be quite cool,
yeah.
right?
For also, like, Pokemon? You know when you get the update, you know when you get, like, the decals, you could have, like, T-Rex damage
yeah.
for the decals.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be good.
Also
be good.
Fun, if they had, like, a Jurassic Park map, which is, like, inside the cage.
Yeah.
Like, that would be cool. And then instead of the ball you hit, it's the gyrosphere with two children inside, and you smash them.
Very good.
Also be good, like, in the side, like, if it was, like, on the sides of the level are kind of the electrical wire. But there's holes in the wall, so you could, like jump out and go down, and you're out of the game for, like, a few
and
seconds.
And the Dilophosaurus might get you.
Ooh, spit in your eye.
That is good. Rory, what's your first one? I think that's really good. I want a Jurassic Park vehicle. Let's go.
My first one is the ghost from Halo. Now, they already have on the Xbox One, they have the Warthog from Halo, which I thought that was kind of a boring choice because, I mean, the Warthog's a cool car, but it's basically
but the
just
ghost
like,
from Halo, that's different.
Well, it's just like, do you know what the ghost from Halo looks like?
I don't think so.
One of them is a Jeep, and one of them is like a purple spaceship with like infinite boost.
Oh, that, yeah.
Yeah, like that thing's insane. It's got like little wings. It looks like the head of a hammerhead shark. It's insane. Like, if you could have that, it's got a bit more of a wider
right,
front, so you can like kind of chip the ball off to sides.
It's got
if
like little
jump,
fins.
It's got fins essentially, and then like the boost would be perfect. Like, it already kind of exists as a Rocket League car. I think that'd be amazing. And plus, you can like get up and then do the little like barrel rolls and stuff. I've had a lot of experiences.
What would you have for all the stuff that he said for his?
Oh, well, like the boost already kind of exists because it already has a boost, and it's just like the cool purple light trails.
Basically, I'm not going to think about this anymore.
Yeah,
I'm just going to describe the thing.
I'm done.
All right, well, I'll tell you my first
Halo.
One then.
Yeah,
the Homer. It's the car built by Homer Simpson for Herb Powell and Powell Motors, which I only found out is a parody of a real disastrous car.
It's car design, really?
Yeah. So Ford built a car called the Edsel, which was apparently like one of the biggest disasters ever.
Would it actually have bubble compartments?
It didn't. All you ever hear about is the T model.
Yeah.
Banging on about it. You don't hear about all the disasters, do you?
So you get the two bubble domes in it. That's really, really good.
I wonder will that affect the ball. Would you get a clean hit with that?
No,
might
never.
Ricochet between them.
No.
You've just gone for fan service right. over functionality with this one. I don't see the whole thing very practical.
It's not even practical in Rocket League.
An engine that makes you think the world is coming to an end, right? But for the goal noise, in Celeb, you get the goal noise is La Cucaracha coming from all three of its horns. So it's really, really loud. And the trail noise, because I like sort of, for this one, it's a subtle trail noise. And it's just, you know, when Homer's like coming down, it's like angels going, oh. So it'll be that as it goes. And also, when the other team scores, you can hear Homer from the other side saying his trademark noise of disappointment. Boo, that's right. That's what he says all the time, isn't it?
Boo, he says,
when something goes wrong.
Boo.
So that's what that's my first
Pass
choice.
Pass me a cheese pasty, as we always love. Boo.
Oh, you dropped it on the carpet. Yeah. Boo. What's your second one?
My second one is a Volvo 240 GL Estate. Do you know what this vehicle is?
No.
You know what this vehicle is?
Oh, I do, because it's written on the thing. Sorry.
It's the car Madeline drives in Jonathan Creek. In the first use of Jonathan Creek.
What's so special
the estate
about
car?
This?
Oh, amazing. There's one of those on my street.
This is actually not my official response, but it's my jerky one, but I think you like it, so I'm going to go with it.
Yeah.
When she drives it, it plays Dance Macabre.
Oh, yes.
What is this car? Why is it so special?
No, I'm going to do my real one. I'll do my real one.
What?
There's not much more to go with that. Ecto-1.
Okay.
1959 Cadillac. When you use boost, there's two options on this.
Do you know what? You know, because it says Ecto-1 down there.
Yeah.
So that's why you said, do you know what car that was? And in my head, I was like, no. But then also at the same time, I was like, that doesn't sound like what Ecto-1 is.
No, what? A Volvo Estate.
Yeah.
With the Ecto-1 in Rocket League, I was thinking two options for boost, and then you need to advise me here.
Okay.
So one, slime. While they've already got slime, and actually, I was thinking about it, makes no logical sense.
No.
Why would the car be, you know, excreting slime?
Oh, but Simon drives the car in the second one.
Does he?
Yeah.
Basing this mainly on the first movie.
Right.
I don't want to.
Of course.
I don't want to acknowledge
it. It's like a bogged down with sequels.
Definitely one of those bloody women in, right?
Oh.
Sexist.
Sexist. How can I hate a Ghostbuster? My mum is one. So the other stream is like basically a proton stream.
Yeah, that's what I was going to go for.
And that comes out, and then when you hit it into the goal, it shouts Ghostbusters, and you see the
a bit on the nose, really.
Right, go with me, guys. Expand your mind. It says Ghostbusters.
What kind of subtlety do you want from this?
And then it'll go the Homer.
I'm sorry, that isn't a thing in it associated with that video, that vehicle.
No,
in Ghostbusters, they do go Ghostbusters.
It does.
That is a thing.
Okay.
I haven't just kind of gone, can we say the name of the thing, please?
Yeah. I think.
And wait, well, let's finish. Yeah. And then you see the symbol of the ghost and the kind of the badge around it in fire.
I think for the trail, it should be Ghostbusters.
Yeah, could be.
Like music with the trail?
That'd be amazing.
What about just ghosts? Like ghosts as a ghost trail? Like you're driving and like ghosts are coming out.
But that means they're crap. They've like caught those and they're just falling out of the back.
Egon.
There's loads of them.
Maybe there's too many.
No.
What's your second one? I like that. That's got to be coming. Both of yours ones will definitely happen.
And Madeline's Volvo.
Possibly not that one.
That's future.
The DeLorean was my dream car and it's already in there and I really love that one.
Okay.
So...
Do you know what?
So you haven't done another one.
I haven't thought about this, but the A-Team van is pretty much, that is the van that's in it, isn't
also
it?
Also, the Scooby-Doo van.
Scooby-Doo van, yeah.
That's just a van. That could be a skin,
Just a van.
Yeah.
Go on.
Catbus from My Neighbor Totoro.
That's
amazing.
Nice.
Such an iconic figure from Studio
Ghibli's
films.
Such an iconic
Amazing. Catbus. They don't really change too much in terms of the mechanics when like a car comes along. For like the DeLorean, they have a little touch
like,
where it's
framing
like,
is if you've really thought. I wouldn't really change
well,
much.
Look,
basically,
the
everything you know about it is what it is. Anyway,
the DeLorean, like they've made it so it's not just a car. Like when you're flying. if you're airborne for long enough, the wheels tuck in. Yeah, so it's like nice little touches. Oh, not so smart anymore, are you, Gab? Christ. So for the cat bus,
that's the closest I've ever heard you come into swearing.
I heard him swear today, actually. Right,
he didn't say fudge.
Right at the end of the Dark Souls thing.
You
said the F word.
No, I didn't.
You absolutely did. Yeah, I didn't want to say it.
Never.
Look forward to that next week.
Yeah, the cat bus. Like, he could be like moving on all. It's like it has like 12 legs. Imagine
that's
that.
That's a lot of extra animation to be doing.
It can't be.
What?
Forward and back. That's not that crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, it can have it has the crazy like beam headlights that could like flash, you know, when you're using your boost.
Yeah.
It would be amazing. Imagine that, like roaming around the field, it would be so great.
That would be really good. Okay, my other one then is a 1917 Dodge Charger RT, as driven by the one and only Dominic Toretto in the Fast and the Furious franchise. It's a lovely car. Point number one.
Oh my God.
Lovely.
I'm going to tick that.
You have to sell this to me.
The goal noise is Vin Diesel whispering, "Family." But it like booms all the way around the
stadium.
Who's
buying this?
Listen. Me.
That's what I'm afraid of.
So what's the trail?
The noise. I haven't told you. But also, celeb, when the goal goes in, like a puff of white smoke comes from there, and it's Vin Diesel and Paul Walker hugging. That happens every time you score.
Every time.
A bit strange.
It's not going to get old because...
Family.
That's exactly right.
Family can't get old.
Don't die.
And the trail noise is the chorus from that song I just sent you before we came in here for Wiz Khalifa featuring Charlie Puth, "See You Again," which I think is a brilliant song.
That's terrible.
It's just terrible. It should have been nominated for an Oscar.
No, it should not have.
I think the only reason it wasn't nominated for an Oscar in the best song is because then they would have seen that and gone, oh shit, we need to put all the Oscars on this one, like Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, Best Supporting. How is Paul Walker not getting Best Supporting Actor? That's what we should have done for the Oscars thing.
Well, you, before this podcast, you insisted that me and Dan both listen to this song in preparation.
It's a good song.
I did listen to it, and I did not think it was a good song.
1.5 billion people have listened to it.
1.5 billion people can't be wrong.
I knew you were going to bring this up, so I actually... did a little bit of research on the people who are watching this video. So I wrote down some of the top comments on the video just to let you know of the hardcore fans who
Rory, do you see he covers up half his notepad? So it looks like he's done no research. Yeah. And then he moves the running order.
Because
no
I've done this before and he's peeked at it and ruined my quizzes.
Oh, sorry.
All right, so these quizzes. Are some of the top comments.
My quizzes!
On that video. Who listened to this song, 2016?
Me.
Who listened to this song, March 2016? We must make this song more famous than Gangnam Style, and we will take this so fast if we can see this video more.
Oh, yeah.
And my personal favorite...
we need to see this video more.
See you again, Paul Walker. We'll miss you for all the days we have you. Thanks to you, you're in Fast and Furious storyline. These aren't sentences. Yeah.
It's not much
These
of a quiz.
These are not sentences. That is the
That's the first time YouTube comments have ever made me cry. So, well done.
Beautiful.
Well done. But those are the vehicles we want to see in Rocket League. So make sure that happens, please. So now we move on. We've got the good and the bad this week.
Yeah.
They are titled Witchy 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 for good. Oi, oi, oi for the bad.
Jump the gun there.
Because we have seen a film called The Witch.
Mm-hmm. You still see Witch?
That was what you just said.
Was it?
Basically, if you... for four people who like these jokes, I'd have seen The Office.
Us three and Dale editing it.
Yeah.
He's cracking up.
Basically, we watch a lot of The Office, and Chris Finch, who is in...
Bloody good rep.
Office.
We need to reel this back.
You've got to stop this, otherwise we're never going to get through this. Is in The Witch. So The Witch is sort of like an old school type horror. And Chris Finch, I can't remember his
Ralph Innocent.
Oh, that's it, yeah.
Ralph Innocent.
Yeah, bloody good actor. He's good. In The Witch.
Bloody good Puritan.
And this is the thing, The Witch, right? Because we talk about The Office
every week.
We... We talk about The Office quite a lot, and The Witch is so good. This is it, right? The Witch is such a good film, it makes you completely forget that you're watching Chris Finch from The Office.
Oh,
do you agree with me?
Yeah. Like the
you just think about The Office quotes.
Yeah, you're saying that. But what did we do immediately after watching it? We went to the pub and literally rewrote huge episodes of The Office, just putting "witch" in the place of proper nouns.
We made a song for it.
Would you want to sing it?
If I can remember it,
the witch comes for thee. It was funny when we went to see it, because it was during a press screening, and the movie kind of opens with these kind of ambiguous shots, but you hear Chris Finch's voice.
Yeah.
And me and Dan both just turned to each other and we were like, Finchy!
Yeah, because you sat in between me and Rory, and you like down to like put down your water.
And we just leaned back.
Finchy! It's because I have respect for cinema.
And then
so I just put my water down.
And then by the end of it, we were horrified. Well, I was petrified.
The best thing about it is we knew what it was about.
I didn't even know it was a horror.
But I said to you, do you want to come see Finchie's film with us?
And you did.
But
I felt,
to be fair, it's
a split opinion.
It's not an easy watch, but it is a brilliant. I think it's really, really good.
I think one of the things to talk about this is it's really split opinion. A lot of it's been shown at film festivals, it was shown at Sundance, and it's been received pretty warmly amongst film critics and film critics who really like horror.
Yeah. Mm.
And I think people have started to see it now in the US at advanced screenings.
Yeah.
And a lot of the public popular response has been quite down on it.
Yeah.
And I think partly that might be due to the trailer that really does position it as more like a Platinum Dunes or a Blumhouse horror film. But you go in and the kind of the tone and the pace of it, it's more like Rosemary's Baby or The Shining in terms of how it elicits horror.
Yeah.
It isn't kind of, you know, jump scares or anything like
that. It's hard.
I mean, it's a hard watch. It's a grueling watch.
There are a couple of jump scares in it, but the thing that I like about it, they're like, the jump scares are just like noise based, or like also like the switch from dark to light.
Yeah.
Like a lot of very hard cuts.
Really hard cuts.
But no kind of like,
oh,
people are going to go, they're going, oh, it went from dark to light. Yeah. Yeah. No, that sort of thing.
That sort of thing, yeah. Where like, there's not like, you know, witches running around going,
I shit myself when they turn that light on.
Yeah. But that's what it is, though. Like, going from, like, silence
to
noise or something like
that.
There
was, like,
a lot.
Cut to just a noise, like, woodcut.
Yeah, and,
like, everyone in the cinema, like,
That's straight out. But I think a lot of people would find that, like, some people would find that disappointing that there's not a thing.
Definitely.
At the end of that. And William Friedkin does that loads in The Exorcist. There's the opening scene, which is like the burning light of the Middle East where they're excavating Pazuzu. And then there's another shot where she's like going through the attic and there's, you know, it's deathly quiet and it's black. And then the candle suddenly combusts and there's like this big, you know, this bright flash of light.
Mm. I think, like, to be fair, it was kind of missold to me as well going in, because like Chris Tilley saw it and he saw it at this thing called Fantastic Fest, which sounds amazing.
Sounds festival. Fantastic.
It's but it sounds like it's like this really sort of celebration of like horror and cult movies and stuff like that. It sounds like a really, really good festival. And he said there's a character in the film, which is a goat called Black Phillip. And he said Black Phillip was basically like the thing at the festival that everyone was sort of making jokes about. And so when I went in, I thought it was going to be not like a fun horror movie, but I didn't think...
A bit culty or something?
Yeah, I didn't think it was going to be sort of like a really old-fashioned folktale, which is what it is. And it, like, you know...
That's a really interesting, like, time period for a horror film. If you're interested in, like, witch trials and, like, that sort
of old... Well, what I think is good about it, there's lots of films that are about, like, Salem witch trials, and throughout the movie, there's a degree of ambiguity that... Is there an actual witch here, or is it these people as the kind of moral or religious panic and they're turning on each other and imagining the witch?
Yeah.
This is not a spoiler. Right at the beginning of The Witch, you know there's a witch. You see the witch. She looks very supernatural. They dispense with that ambiguity from the get-go. Something supernatural is at work here. But the ambiguity creeps back in when the family begins to turn on each other and you're not really sure who is actually the agent of darkness.
Yeah, it's really odd as well, because I thought... that I'd missed... I think we talked about this, actually, in the pub when we were like... We thought we'd missed something really big right at the top.
Yeah, at the start.
We should
exposition.
Be really careful now.
Yeah, yeah. We
for
thought
spoilers.
We thought we'd missed something. But it turned out we hadn't. Like, we hadn't missed anything at all. But it's kind of that kind of ambiguity. It's not, but as you say, not like...
Yeah, it is like, and that is not a spoiler me saying that. Like, it's one of the opening shots in the movie.
Yeah.
It's in the trailers as well. Yeah. You know, the intrigue here doesn't... It's not like those other witch films where it's like, is there something supernatural at work? Is there not?
Yeah.
It gets rid of that at the beginning, and it's more kind of the intrigue that comes from the family setup.
Yeah, it's a really, really interesting film. It's a really... It's one of these things that keeps happening with a lot of films recently, too. That I watch it, I enjoy it, I'll never watch it again.
I think I would watch that again, because I think having certain pieces of information, and it's quite short, rewatching might be an interesting experience. Mm. Like watching Babadook again is an interesting experience, depending on your interpretation of that movie.
Yeah.
I think that...
Like, you kind of piecing together the clues in different ways.
I think Babadook's a bit different from the witch, because, like, I feel like the witch was so... Like, even the editing and the style of it was so insulting to my senses.
Yeah.
It was kind of designed that way that I was always on edge.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, the Babadook, there were times where the tension was kind of dropped a bit. But I felt like with the witch, like, there was always something happening, or you thought something was going to happen. Like, every, like, mundane task was cut in, like, quite a malicious way. Mm. You always feel like something's not quite right. I don't know if I'd want to watch that again.
Yeah. I think the Babadook has a... Have you seen the Babadook?
Yeah.
I think it has a much darker ending than if you watch it again. I think...
Yeah,
I'm going to say a spoiler for the Babadook now. It's not a spoiler, it's only if I'm right with my theory, but my interpretation is, I think she kills her son at the end.
Oh!
Like, they're in the garden, she's cradling him, and it is a shot that is reminiscent of the end of The Innocents, which is an adaptation of Henry James's Turn of the Screw. And an interpretation at the end of the movie is she's, like, hugging her ward, Miles.
Yeah.
And one interpretation of that novella is at the end, she's hugging him so tight she's strangling him,
right?
And the last shot of the Babadook is she isn't over her postnatal depression, and the camera pans up and she's tugging him. If you watch it again, it looks more sinister on second watching. And the shot ends with him out of shot, like just the top of his head, if I remember correctly. So I think you can interpret it as she's killing him.
She
at the
him.
I might watch that again, yeah, because I watched it on Christmas Day 2014 with my mum. I don't know why.
Is that how old that is?
I don't know why we watched it on Christmas Day, but yeah,
just a bit of fun, isn't it?
Just a bit of fun.
Was your mum like hugging you?
Yeah, she
tight?
Was.
Gav, come over here, mate.
Yeah. No, mummy.
All right, we talked about it a little bit. Dark Souls.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first one, though.
What about
Dark Souls 3, Rory?
Yeah, Sunday I got a chance to play a 20-minute demo of Dark Souls 3, and I thought, you know what, this is no problem. This was a public event. I've been playing Dark Souls 1 all week. I've got this down. It's fine. I'm ready to go in front of all these people and just blast it out.
Were you like, hey, guys, it's Rory from IGN here. I'm going to take down some bosses in Dark Souls.
He's going to do a speed run.
Gather around, nerds. I'm going to attack
these
skeletons.
Is there a Dark Souls kill screen coming up?
I got my ass destroyed. I got killed so bad.
In front of people as well.
In front of people.
And then how did Dark Souls go?
I got beat really, really bad for 10 minutes, and then my demo crashed. So...
Oh, it's probably broken.
So the guy came around, and I was like, oh, man, all my progress. All the progress.
Oh,
flights are shit on that.
So then he had to reset it, which put me right back to the start, and I just struggled through everything again until he was like, all right, time up. And I was at the fireplace.
Fireplace.
Or fire. Campfire. Bonfire. Thank
Jesus
you. I was at the
Christ.
First bonfire.
The first fireplace.
I learned nothing.
Yeah.
So that was horribly embarrassing. And then I thought I could just kind of like slink away. Because there were people, if you're waiting in line, you could watch everyone play.
Oh, God.
So I was like, I'm just going to duck out now. Because everyone, I had been watching people play before me and they had like got to the boss. Mm. You can reach the boss in the demo. And I had obviously got nowhere near it. So I was on the end. I was like, I'm just going to slink away. And one of the staff who was working the booth was like, nice try, Rory. Turned out he listens to the podcast and he knew me from IGN. And
probably listened to this, you slagging him off.
He was like,
really, really
was
embarrassing. And I was like, psh.
No, whatever. He was rubbish.
Whatever. It's fine.
But that's your first impressions.
That game is beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And I know we've been playing a lot of 1 and it's come a long way since then.
I think people
like,
are down on 1. Like, it's a pretty small team, relatively speaking. And 1, like, while it has great art direction, like, especially on PS3, like textures could be better. Yeah. There's loads of things that could be better, like fire and water effects, like you always keep picking up on.
Yeah. But I mean, like, this one looks incredible. Like, some of the graphics. And it was the same kind of things. I was at a spot where there was like a dragon over one of the the tower bits, and he was coming down, like dipping and breathing all the fire onto the path, and it's just like, it was some of the same experiences I feel like I've had.
Yeah, definitely. Like Miyazaki likes putting a dragon at the opening of his games. Yeah. Just like, it's cool. It's like a thing, like a calling card. So now that we've played quite a lot of one, do you think you're going to go play three?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really? Like, absolutely, you're up for it?
I think it's weird when we're doing it for work, because it's such a like focused thing. Yeah, like play for an hour, play for 2 hours, like see this, how far we can get. But like some of the things, like it's just a game that I haven't experienced before. Like I've never experienced a game that takes so long to master, and then as soon as you think you've got it, you don't have it.
Yeah.
I think I'll definitely play three. Definitely play three.
Amazing.
Bit of co-op.
Absolutely.
Going on?
You play quite a lot of it, haven't you?
Yeah, I went to Germany and played for 4 hours in a church.
That's fitting.
I don't know why it was in a church, really. It wasn't even a church that looked like
just come through your office.
If this church was in Dark Souls, you'd be like,
boring.
Oh, that's a bit weird, isn't it? A little local church. but it was really good. I think it's really good. I think some people, and rightly, you know, Dark Souls 2 came out and Miyazaki wasn't involved. He was off doing Bloodborne. It does feel familiar that we've been having these experiences almost like in an annual form, like if you count Bloodborne as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, without Dark Souls 2, maybe you wouldn't have got Dark Souls 3. You know, Dark Souls 2 sold really well and it kept, you know, it proved that this was like a viable thing, that people were really into these games and kept the fire going, if you were to use that the terminology. And 3 is great. And if you like Dark Souls 1, and like people loved the first one, and you like the lore, which is, I think, one of my favorite things about that game. And I think once we finish, there's a video series I'll send you to where you can learn about the characters that I think will really enhance your enjoyment of the game retroactively. Mm. 2 is very disconnected. And for ages, people have poured time into trying to link Dark Souls 2 back to Dark Souls 1. And it's very hard to do.
Yeah.
I think it's purposefully vague, the connections. Whereas 3 has it has recurring characters.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to get kind of answers for certain things that happen in Dark Souls 1, which will be immensely satisfying because people have been puzzling over certain things for like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. I think, like, because I didn't like get that far with Bloodborne, and I wish I got a bit further with it, but lots of stuff ended up happening, so I just stopped playing it. But I think sitting and watching Rory play Dark Souls 1 for so long, like,
you thought, well, crap, if he can do it, then
I don't think that, but I think, like, to actually, it makes you realize, like, to actually get far in those games is actually a really good feat. And if you can do that, then it's quite a big challenge. So I think, like, when Dark Souls 3 came out, I actually might... Because I was thinking I was feeling bad about going to that and not really giving Bloodborne, like, as much... Because I really love that game.
So the bit like you checked out Bloodborne is kind of, I think, comparable to the bit that we nearly checked. We're not going to check out Dark Souls because we're playing it for a work thing.
Yeah.
But you know, like the Undead Burg, all that kind of very drab zombies with like crap armor. It's like the most boring part of that game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of that initial part of Bloodborne.
Right, okay.
And once you get past that, and once we get past this bit in Dark Souls, there's so many weird things in that game, so many interesting locations. And once you get there, you're like, this is awesome. Because by the time you get there, you've got better equipment, you've got the basics, you can kind of handle yourself.
Yeah.
And the game kind of blossoms, and you're like, oh my God, this is awesome. There's so many cool places to explore and things to do and see. And sometimes when you get stuck on one area, you might be able to go and do a bit somewhere else.
Well, that's why it was kind of cool when we were playing the first one. Whereas, like, I have no idea where I'm going. So I'm, like, in between episodes, like, just venturing off into, like, little areas. And I'm running into areas that have, like, what was it, crystal golems?
Yeah.
Like, these giant rock guys that, like, throw crystals at you.
Snakes, yeah.
The snakes going through the forest, and you have these trees that come, and, like, it's... And, you know, if you've been stuck fighting zombie skeletons for, like, 2 hours, like, seeing these other creatures in this other part of the world, it's just really cool.
And we're gonna see some amazing places. And I think Dark Souls 3... feels really exciting. Like, if you like Dark Souls, as some people listen to this podcast, they're mentioning characters that you only ever heard of in the first game. And you're like, will we actually get to see some of these places? Like Kareem or Vinheim. These are, like, iconic locations that are only alluded to in the first game.
Yeah.
And it feels like you might be able to go into some of them in part 3.
Mm. And it's out soon. When's it out? Like April,
beginning
right?
of the April. It's out in Japan in like a couple of weeks.
Ooh.
So a bit worrying. Like, there'll probably be a lot of spoilers circulating, a lot of, like, footage you won't want to see.
Yeah.
But beginning of April is out.
That's annoying. Okay, Rory, you've written a late one into the run order. Esports are weird and awesome.
Yeah. I went to...
What's that?
Go talk about it, bro.
Yeah. I went to an esports event. So this was... I've written it down here because I forgot the name. It was the Call of Duty World League Challenge Tournament. So essentially what this is, it's a tournament that's open to esports teams in the public in the UK and Europe to come and compete. And then they also have some professional teams compete. Now, like, we got to go to Berlin for Worlds, which was, you know, that's like the other side of the spectrum in terms of esports events. Yeah. That was mental. That was a huge stadium, hundreds of thousands of people coming from all over the world.
That's League of Legends, isn't it?
That's League of Legends, which is one of the bigger ones.
Has to stop.
It's one of the things I love about esports is, like, you never, like, all the events are so different. Mm. So I didn't really know what to expect for this one. Obviously, it's an event that's open to the public, so it might be, like, a little more casual.
Yeah.
It was at the PC Gamer event, and you had to go down into the basement to get to it. This, I can only describe it as like the Fight Club of esports. You went round and there was just like circles of people over gamer shoulders, like screaming abuse at like the other team, like everyone getting all riled up.
Oh wow.
It was crazy. It was so hectic. Like people, I mean, they were giving away free rock stars, which didn't help anything. Yeah. Everyone was so jacked up. But like,
I bet you were loving it.
Oh yeah, I had like four. It was amazing.
A couple of years ago, I went to like,
shouting at people.
Just yeah, it was crazy.
In like 2013, 2014, I went to the Call of Duty World Championships out in LA. And that was a little bit more control because you had some public bits, but then you also had like all the, there's a lot of stuff like behind closed doors, but then the main match was where like there was an audience and stuff like that. So you never really had like public and that shouting at people.
Yeah, so it was quite similar. As I said, there's some pro teams there. I think they had like Epsilon and Infused. So they were the ones who...
Always named really shit things.
What do you mean? That's cool. Epsilon.
Epsilon. It sounds like... people on The Apprentice.
Yeah.
You should hear...
Sounds like drinks. Sounds like energy. Shit names for energy drinks.
Yeah, well, that's
what would you call your esports team then?
The Dragons.
Oh, the Dragons! The Welsh Dragons!
The Dragons.
Oh, who didn't see that coming?
I don't know what...
Jesus.
The Rarebits. The Rarebits. Ooh. There's no like...
The Cheesy Rarebits.
There's not really that many funny names.
There is a reasonably good League of Legends team at the minute called Unicorns of Love.
Okay, that's fine.
And they're doing pretty good.
That's good.
But then, yeah, it's usually just like Immortals.
That's not a clever name, is it?
Well, either is the Dragons.
Yeah, I know that, but I was on the spot.
You have me against the wall. Is that a name? The pro teams were playing in a much more like structured, like live streaming on Twitch sort of event. But then obviously all the public teams were kind of like out and about. You could like just go stand behind whichever team you wanted and check it out. One of the other cool things
was... Shouting clutch a lot. That's a lot. That's a big thing at Call of Duty. Clutch.
Well,
does that mean?
If it's
fucking no idea.
It's like if you like
absolutely no idea.
If you make a big like saving play, like it's clutch play.
I thought it was like 2v1. I thought that was clutch.
Oh, you gotta learn your phrases. What's 2v1? Ganked as well. That's a 2v1 phrase. What a 2v1? I don't know. Unfair.
I think we can work out what 2v1 means.
No. But not that. There's a word for 2v1. I thought it was. I thought it was clutch. Clutch play. 2v1.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
The other cool thing was, because it was an event that was open to the public, you had these just teams that had like come over for the event.
Cool.
But they were just like their own self-funded teams. So you had groups of people who had made their own like team jackets.
Like Spider-Man.
Pin pals.
Like the equipment would be like dodgeball. So you know, like all these kooky teams from all over, and they're all got like the cobras, like they're all jackets. So they're all walking around the event in their like full like esports tracksuit jackets. And they're just like, that's just their fun thing. They are their own little esports team, and they can go to events and stuff. So it was cool, like seeing some of the guys who don't like make it too far get a chance to come to these events and compete as well. Yeah, it was a really cool experience.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Better or worse than League of Legends?
I prefer League of Legends over Call of Duty, but it definitely was one of the more interesting FPS esports tournaments I've been to.
I think with Call of Duty, if you're not into esports and you want to watch an esport, watching Call of Duty is easier than watching League of Legends because it's just like the person who is alive.
Yeah, and essentially like...
And you can follow a man with a gun rather than...
You know what I would absolutely... I'm going to watch the hell out of Rocket League esports.
Oh, yeah.
Are we covering that? Are we doing any coverage?
Well, Twitch has signed a deal with Rocket League, haven't they? They're going to start doing a big tournament thingy.
Oh, awesome.
We should do some stuff on that.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Also, it's not too long as well.
All right, I'll go. Send me out. Fine. You twisted my arm.
Oh,
complete. I'll go.
Oh,
I'll go to LA. I'll do the coverage. It's fine.
Oh, well, guys, I've had lots of witchy equals good things. Now, before we get on to the oi, the bad things, Serious time. Serious time, guys, because it's time for... Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Can I just interrupt you before you do this?
Yeah.
Oh, you do that bit.
Do-do-do-do-do. Keyword countdown.
Sorry, I meant to let you do that bit. A bit of feedback from Kevin in Manchester.
Oh, don't have somebody slagging it off, because I've got to go on after this.
What is this?
Oh.
No.
My heart sank then.
Kevin says, I'm loving the IMDb game. Yes. Not enough to remember it's called...
Keyword countdown.
Remember it.
Do you know what? Because the theme song changes every single week. That's why. There's no branding here. There's no branding. Exactly.
Do you know what I was belting out the other day when I was setting up in here, in the studio, was keyword countdown to the tune of The Who's Teenage Wasteland. Keyword countdown.
That's a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Sony
stop.
Countdown.
Copyright flags are popping up all over this place.
They've all counted. Don't worry about that. The first bit. Remember me.
We're out here in the field, and all we have is this pissing game. Right, okay, let me finish. Kevin.
If someone's really good at music, make that. Make that a jingle.
Let this man compliment you.
Go on, Kevin.
It's great to play along in my head during the commute. Distracts me from the immersionless robot-style world the tram at 7 a.m. becomes. Aww. He's in Manchester. Thanks, Kevin.
Oh, 7 awesome. A.m. commute. That sucks.
I've had quite a few tweets from people going they like to play along. Also, a tweet from someone who sent me a bunch because he was like, it's too easy.
Right, come on.
Too easy. So,
add him under the table. See how he does.
Ooh.
Yeah, calling you out like that.
At the moment, Chris Tilly
I bet his name's Steven as well.
Chris Tilly is a top. I believe you may be able to take over him.
But I've played more. I think, isn't that the flaw in the scoring system?
This is only your second game.
It has to be like
but you're doing
average.
Well. You're doing well. Okay. Yeah, but I'll work it out.
I don't think this is...
I don't...
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Let's just come on.
Just worry about the game at hand.
Come on, we got a meeting at 4.
Let's go.
Film number one.
Do we?
High School.
High School Musical.
Terrorist. Person in car trunk.
You're going too fast. Way too fast.
Person in what?
Car trunk. Parking lot.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Famous song. Fighting over a girl.
I don't think I've ever seen this movie.
Yes, you have.
I don't think so.
Terrorist.
Reference to Darth Vader.
We need
Back
to
the Future.
Kevin.
Yay!
Can I just point out, Back to the Future. We need to talk about Kevin. A little bit.
That's
different.
It. I hadn't seen that one.
Terrorist. Yeah. Oh God.
The other one. So you had a reference to Darth Vader. Waking up in strange surroundings. Year 1955. Time travel.
I got a lot of points then.
Yeah.
Right.
4.
Ah.
That's good.
Could be more.
Don't worry about it.
Could be worse.
Film number two.
I'm terrible.
Could
at
be. We need right. to talk about Kevin. I need to write you a theme so you stop making noises.
Baby.
Baby's Day Out.
Look who's talking.
It's a great movie.
American Ambassador.
American Baby.
The Omen.
Oh, God damn it. I've
nailed
never seen
it.
The Omen.
Absolutely nailed it. You just said you were shit at this.
I'm good when it's The Omen.
But we need to talk about Kevin.
Shit unless Omen.
Oh, you don't know how often I've said that in life.
So that's 2 points. No, 8 points for Krupa there.
Like,
no, 9 points for Krupa there.
You don't understand the scoring
shit,
system.
We have to do 9 points.
I don't reckon he's writing this down correctly.
I am. I've got a spreadsheet.
Okay.
Cool. I think you write these down on a page and burn it. I think you just made up everything.
The other clues, if you want to play along. Lifting mail in air. Switched at birth.
Decapitation.
Best original score winner. Rottweiler. Suicide by hanging. Push down the stairs. Nanny. The devil.
It's all for you, Damien.
Here we go. Ready? Film number three. Briefcase full of money. Male pubic hair. Drugged drink.
Male pubic hair.
Ski lift.
Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah! What?
What's the male pubic hair?
Yeah.
Like, I know what it is.
Yeah, I've got loads.
Should have my,
yeah. And it just kind of, it goes from my belly button and it builds towards Alan Partridge.
Yeah, I've like five of them.
Well done, Krupa, 7 points there. The other ones, kicked in the crotch, spitting on a hamburger, urination, defecation, tongue stuck on a pole.
I don't remember seeing this movie.
Repetition in title.
Here I think I saw the second one, which was really bad.
Oh my God.
So yeah. Rory, 16 points to 4 at the moment.
You're not doing
for
so
this
hot.
Week. Film number 4, still all to play for. It's always all to play for because I've designed the scores so
like
well.
QI,
so bizarrely.
I just give you a steamy look, then. Sharp. Jungle.
George of the Jungle. Jumanji.
Green Beret.
Predator.
Yeah!
Jesus Christ!
Actually fuming then.
I'm gone, I'm out. I'm
Slow
out.
Down, you move too fast.
Oh, but the way Gav's designed this game is that it's always to play.
It is always to play.
It is always to play.
Well, yeah.
It is always to play when you fucking have a go. the other clues. Hostage, terror, helicopter, tough guy, blood, skinned alive, humanoid alien, man versus monster.
You said you're bad at this.
Well, not these ones. Not when it's Omen or Predator. You'll never get me. You will never win.
It's gonna be fun though. Ah, you beat me.
Okay, here we go. Last film for this week, then, and the scores are 20. Shit. 24-4.
But it's 20 points if I get it in one, right?
No.
So just say the first one, but don't talk for a minute, and I'll just ramp up.
All right, it's fine.
Yeah, just do the first one. We both get Hail Mary on
top. Okay.
Yeah, I want Hail Mary.
Helmet.
Oh, Full Metal Jacket.
Scrap.
Oh, he's not one.
Ant-Man.
No.
Captain America. Is it a superhero movie?
That's not how
this works.
So film number five then. Helmet. Scrap Merchant.
Star Wars.
Which Star Wars?
Star Wars Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Oh.
You could have, if you just let me guess, I would have got him one clue. I would have swept him. That's 20.
I would have swept him.
That's 20.
I'm not sitting
That's
here.
That's 20, guys. Right? That's 20.
I am not sitting here, and the people at home aren't sitting here, and Daniel Cooper's not sitting here, while you just go through every film that's got
four
a helmet
guesses.
In
like
it.
I've said, we've got a meeting at four. We've got a meeting at four.
Well done.
20 points.
Combi
9 points for that.
I'm doing this all day.
You did all right. So the other ones. See, with this one, I thought I was being really clever. Maybe they are too easy. Maybe that guy who tweeted me was real, because this one
probably was real.
It wasn't a very specific bot.
I focused on a very specific part of Force Awakens, so I thought I would get you that way. Number three, desert, crash landing, thirst.
Oh, you think you could go like Martian?
Escape, resistance, abandoned ship, female protagonist, Millennium Falcon.
Too quick for you?
Yeah.
Got it, helmet.
Krupa absolutely nailed that one, though.
Well,
Rory,
if you would let me
13 points to, I think, 24.
The 20-point round.
So, that's good. I think it's very, very close to knocking Tilly off the top. Who knows what could happen?
Me or Dan?
Well,
both. Both. Who knows?
Oi, oi, oi.
Who knows?
If you're playing along at home, let us know how you did. Now on to Oi Oi Oi, the bad stuff this week. I'm going to kick things off. We've had a little tiny bit of mention of Jonathan Creek this week. Jonathan Creek is coming back. The last couple of episodes they did in 2014 were some of the worst stuff that's ever been on the BBC. And that's saying something, because there's a lot of shit on the BBC.
There is, yeah.
A lot of good stuff as well.
Come on, lads. But yeah, he's coming back to BBC One. They're filming it this summer. 90-minute special. Don't know when it's going to be out yet.
You always put them on like Christmas or Easter.
Put them on, yeah.
It's a Christmas
New
show.
New Year's Day or Easter, yeah.
Basically, your Christ holidays.
Yeah. So
2014 isn't even that long ago. Actually, no, it's not.
No, it's not.
It's quite recent.
Yeah.
I thought it'd been off air for way longer.
But yeah, and it's going to come back. Unfortunately, Caroline Quentin is not returning as yet. It's going to be Sarah Alexander, I think, who plays his wife in it. Yeah. So
she's married to Peter Serafinowicz in real life.
But just let it go, man. Yeah. Like, I was watching an episode last night and I was like, this was so good. Like, there's an episode I watched last night it's like the best episodes ever, I think. They are so good that when you're watching, you go, even though I've seen this 20 times, I still can't remember the hook, or like how they actually did this. And that's the mark of a good thing. But then the mark of the bad ones, unfortunately, I think there's more bad episodes of Jonathan Creek than there are good ones.
My favourite's when the orangutan did it.
That wasn't a real resolution, was
it? So there's an orangutan that plays, but was it a gorilla?
Gorilla, yeah. Silverback.
Sure, is it a gorilla?
Silverback, yeah. But it's not, it didn't do it.
It didn't do it?
No. It is involved.
It is involved, isn't it? Yeah.
It is involved.
Anyway,
he didn't pull the trigger.
We're getting bogged down in higher primates.
Like, we've been threatening for a while to rank all 31 episodes of the Jonathan Creek.
Now we might as well wait till this is out.
I love the way you say threatening.
Update like
people,
it with
people
this.
People are begging you not
how
to
about,
do it.
How like, about we rank it? Them and then leave a slot at the bottom just to put this one in?
Yeah, for number 32.
Not to prejudge, but...
It's going to be 90 minutes, and some of the long ones are actually really, really good. Some of the long ones are awful. Like, Trouble at Gallows Gate is terrible. Don't watch that.
Right.
The Black Canary, though, probably the best one.
Gav, you know you like to quiz people?
Yeah.
I think it's time you become quizzed.
What are you quizzing me on?
Five other British actors were up for the role of Jonathan Creek. And Alan Davies has said that he thinks he was like the 30th choice or so.
Okay.
I've written down five names. Five people you could like guess, okay. British actors, okay. That were supposedly before Alan Davies in the running. Let's see how many of these five you can get.
Okay.
And should we give them a finite number of guesses?
Yeah.
10?
Yeah. Okay. If you don't guess it in two turns, you don't get 20 points. How about that? Yeah, that's a table turned on you.
Well, there's no league for this. There's no Jonathan Creek.
There can be. We can play this every week. Yeah. That's what people at home are saying.
More
of this. More quizzes. People are like, okay. I'm delete. Unsubscribe.
Oh, this is hard. Okay. I'm going to go Stephen Fry.
I don't have Stephen Fry. It's just these five.
This is stuck.
Okay. But what about in that area? Hugh Laurie, Stephen Fry.
Well, slow down. Tell me what your guesses are.
Oh, right. Okay.
You have a certain amount.
Hugh Laurie or Stephen Fry, I reckon.
Hugh Laurie, correct.
Yes.
Ding.
So you've had two guesses.
Rick Mail?
Yes.
Yes.
Ding.
Okay. Let's have a look. Around that kind of fame.
Like, don't say forever.
Okay. Come on. What's the one that does... What's the name of the guy who does the impressions?
I can't help you.
Is he on there?
I can't help you.
Is he on there, though?
I can't help you.
Not Angus Deaton. What's the guy? Oh, shite. What's the name of the guy who does the impressions?
What does that even mean? There's a lot of people that
do impressions. Is Adrian Edmondson on there? They're not going to go up against each other, are they?
No.
Four
guesses.
So.
Okay, you've got four six guesses left and three to get.
Okay. Oh, God. Who else was famous around that time? Any older? You've got to give me some clues, man.
No, come on.
Okay, Stephen Fry, Hugh Laurie have gone for that. What are you doing?
Oh, you'll see. I'm getting ready.
Right, okay. Come on. Are you giving up?
Oh, Rowan Atkinson?
Nope.
Oh, fuck.
Five more guesses.
Five more
three
guesses.
Three to get.
Oh, God. I can't think of any British actors now.
Do you want to know?
Give me a clue.
You've already said one of them.
What?
But you didn't submit it as a guess.
Angus Deaton. Was Angus Deaton down?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Okay.
You've got to give me the impression dude then, if he's on there.
Alistair McGowan. No, that's not right.
Oh, Christ.
So you've lost a guess there.
Anthony Stewart Head?
There you go. I wanted a wrong buzzer.
Time it.
It's hard to time.
Was Anthony Stewart Head up for Jonathan Creek?
Nope. Oh. Two more guesses left and two names to get. So you can do this.
Okay. Who else is good?
Nice. Jude Law.
What about someone like Ardal O'Hanlon?
No.
Oh, okay.
Was that... Yeah.
And another comedian. Billy Connolly.
Nope. Unlucky, Gavin.
Who are the other ones?
Nigel Planer.
Okay.
Nicholas Lyndhurst.
I was going to say Nicholas Lyndhurst! Motherfudger! I was literally about to say Nicholas Lyndhurst, but I couldn't think of his name. So I wasn't really going to say him.
Jonathan Creek or Shit Creek?
Yeah.
You're up. Shit Creek.
Oh, that's good.
That was a good title, yeah. So Gav gets 0 points in the league.
No,
on the table.
I got
you were at the bottom of that.
You did not get
league.
Them all.
But how
yeah.
many of those did I guess? I guessed three.
You got. Yeah, but that was not the challenge.
You had,
three
to,
out
you
of
had
what?
To guess all
three
five.
Three out of five.
Yeah. I think 3 out of 5 is good.
Nah, 3 out of 5. Yeah. Bottom of that league.
It's Jonathan Creek's on, I think, something called Really at the moment, like a satellite channel called Really at the moment. And my girlfriend's been watching it late
really?
At night. Yeah, I do that. And she sends me a still.
She loves that.
She sends me a still of Jonathan Creek going, what's the episode? And I have to, from that one particular thing, deduce the episode.
Are you Edward Nigma?
I've got a good record. I'm like 4 out of 6, I think.
You're 4
just
for 6.
Just on the one. I'm getting it.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Right. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, so we're not that keen on that coming back, are we?
No, we're not. Is what that
leave it as
bit
it is.
Was about. Okay, what else is rubbish?
They're making a Venom movie.
Yeah.
And what is this idea? I've written down some quotes from a story that the Hollywood Reporter brought this story.
Okay.
And so Venom is happening at Sony Pictures. Sony Pictures still own the Spider-Man rights. Those are people who tried to reboot it with Andrew Garfield.
I actually liked more than...
But they realized the bigger play...
Yeah, I liked the Andrew Garfield.
And they realized the more sensible play was to give the character back to Marvel, even though they retained the rights.
Yeah.
Go and you make the movie, you put him in the MCU, and we'll take the money and that's good for everyone.
Do you reckon it's just like, stop slagging off Spider-Man? You bloody, you fucking do that.
What? You think you can do this better? Kevin Feige's like, yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Of course you could. Well, better than Paul Giamatti in a mech suit. Yeah. Oh, yes, please. God. So they took him back. But Matt Tolmach and Avi Arad, the guy who worked at Toy Biz and was responsible for kind of reviving Marvel in the 90s and doing the first Marvel movie deals. He did X-Men deal with Fox, and he also did the Spider-Man deal with Sony, and he did the kind of, he was the producer on the first Sam Raimi Spider-Man movie.
Bet they ate him now.
I reckon a bit, yeah, because he left once kind of it came clear Kevin Feige was going to take control of Marvel Studios, and he kind of left. I was watching the documentary called Marvel Renaissance. It's a strange documentary. And there's the Avi Arad is one of the talking heads in that movie.
Oh, wow.
And they interview him in his office, and in his office he's got like loads of Spider-Man posters, a desk like full of like Spider-Man head knockers, he's got a Spider-Man ring on, he's got a Spider-Man t-shirt. It's like, you've not really moved on. Yeah. And can you imagine his feelings when they like gave Spider-Man back?
Yeah.
I almost wonder what kind of the deal is where they've had to placate him and Matt Tolmach and go, you can still make a Venom movie. But it sounds like, so this is the quote from Hollywood Reporter, this has been envisioned as a franchise apart from and unrelated to the upcoming Spider-Man movie in the works with the actor Tom Holland.
How do you make a Venom movie without Spider-Man?
I don't know.
Why did you make a Spider-Man?
Also, I feel like if it's not connected to the wider MCU, what kind of power is that drawing? What's it going against? Now, currently, Venom in the comics, and this is kind of interesting, is played by Flash Thompson, the school bully.
Yeah.
And he's now called Venom Space Knight, and he's like an agent working in
Venom
space.
Venom Space Knight?
He's called that, isn't he? Some of that, it's kind of along those lines.
Badass.
And he's like he's like a cosmic character now, and he's like, he kind of interacts a lot with the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
But again, it can't have any of that stuff.
Can't do that.
And that, like, even as a concept, that's so far out.
Yeah,
from
like,
what, like,
yeah,
viewers will be used to, like, yeah, it'll just not go.
It's
down
so
well
weird.
At
so
all.
I don't know what, I don't know how this can really work.
Yeah, but a good Venom movie could be awesome.
I think so too. If they did it, I think they're gonna have to kind of like stick by the books in terms of what a superhero movie is. But if they pitch it as kind of like him being sort of an anti-hero, but then maybe has to like have some sort of.
I wonder if there's gonna be like loads of weird gaps in the movie where, I don't know, at some point you'd have to name certain characters. Like, I'm Eddie Brock, where do you work? Daily Bugle, but I'll never show it. Like, I don't. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of weird. Or will there be in this weird situation where he'll go to the Daily Bugle because he kind of has to, and he'll interact with J. Jonah Jameson, but that would be different than the J. Jonah Jameson in the MCU. You've suddenly become like really knotted.
It feels like they've looked at. It feels like they've looked at Deadpool and gone, right, that's a character that kind of exists outside of what they're doing at the moment, even though it exists in that universe.
It's partitioned by rights.
So it feels like they've kind of looked at that and gone, what have we got that can do that?
But it's even more knotted, though, because it's like if the X-Men existed in the MCU, which they don't. At least, like, Fox has, like, a bit of a bigger part of the Marvel sandbox to play in.
Yeah.
They've got all the X-Men, whereas this is just Spider-Man.
I don't think
And this, even a big part of that Spider-Man thing, i.e. Spider-Man, has gone back to Marvel Studios.
But that's the thing about Venom. Like, it works so well as a character because it works with Spider-Man so well.
Yeah.
Whereas you take Spider-Man out of it. Like, I can understand maybe if they were going to be like Carnage, because you can kind of understand that. That's got a cool little story by itself.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what they're
doing. And I think, like, there is scope for them to do standalone Venom stuff. Like, Venom has become a bigger character in the comics, has his own books, like, currently. But to launch that without Spider-Man is really hard.
People are going to look at that and be like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, what the hell is that? And there's nothing familiar to latch onto.
No.
And he goes, oh, he's a bit like Spider-Man.
Yeah. And also, like, we've seen a lot of the main Spider-Man villains already appear, like, in the Spider-Man movies. Like, Doc Ock and Goblin. Like, are they going
to
have...
Well, this is the interesting thing. What happens to all these other Spider-Man movie villains? Because Marvel is making a standalone Tom Holland Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
And presumably, they're going to have a pretty full toy box to play with. You're not going to neuter that character by saying, oh, you can't have these villains. Because Sony, by giving that character back, wants it to have the best kind of chance in life.
Yeah.
it's a very strange announcement.
Weird. I'm like, I don't reckon that film will ever happen.
Yeah, and also another quote from the story. This Venom is meant to not only stand on its own, but also to launch its own franchise.
Shut up.
Like, what the...
The Venom Cinematic Universe.
What is that?
That's a press release put out by, like, a jilted ex-lover, isn't it? Do your own now. Do your own franchise. Yeah. Blackjack and hookers.
Yeah. I've still got that lock of your hair. I can smell at night.
Yeah, I don't That's think mad. That film will ever come out. Basically, that's what I think. All right, we've gone on. Let's do some feedback. Is
yes.
it?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
What do we got?
Oh, I'm number one. I'm number one.
Except
this is from
in keyword.
This is from Philip Hearn. He says, "Hi guys, how likely is it do you think that Steve Rogers will be killed towards the end of the film? I assume the subject is Captain America: Civil War." For Bucky to take over the role as Captain America, then Tony Stark to help resurrect Steve in Infinity War? It's a pretty simple question. I don't think it's very likely at all. I'm a huge fan of the Civil War comics.
I gave you that bit of feedback, so you're a huge Captain America
fan.
Yeah,
I'm a huge Captain America fan, big fan of the Civil War comics. That was one of my biggest hang-ups when I saw the trailer and some of the first footage from Marvel Civil War, is that, I knew I was always going to relate it to the books, and any changes was always going to be a bit jarring for me. And it's already moving in quite a drastically different direction than the comics. So I think it's probably going to resolve itself in a way that doesn't end up with Steve Rogers being killed. Because the whole point of Steve being killed is such a pivotal moment in the comics, because it's him, he thinks he's doing the right thing, but then he realizes, the people of the city, the people of America who he's trying to protect are now against him. And that's a huge, big, pivotal moment in the plot. But it seems like now they're going more for the relationship between him and Bucky.
Yeah.
And I know that there's going to be some, tearing moment emotionally at the end of the film, but I don't think it's going to be between Steve and the people of the country. I think it's going to be something different.
Yeah. I think they need to
probably him and Tony, actually.
I think at some point they need to kill someone to give it a sense of real jeopardy.
Hawkeye.
Ultron dispenses with Quicksilver, but he's new. You haven't spent any time with him. Eventually, if they kill one of these big characters, I imagine how shocking that moment would be. It would be a really powerful moment. And suddenly you'll be in that Walking Dead or Lost situation where you go, people are expendable.
Yeah.
Quicksilver's.
Yes, but...
Because also, in a practical sense, some of these people, contracts will run out and they'll bring in a new wave of heroes.
I think that I don't trust that they would have the balls to do it. I haven't watched S.H.I.E.L.D., so I don't know why
Coulson
comes back. Yeah. So I don't know what the reasoning behind
it's that. It's because they needed a lead character for
it. Yeah, it was literally, something
exact. So, because I generally thought that the use of that, the use of Coulson dying, and Samuel Jackson, when he gets the baseball card and put the blood on it and stuff like that, the use of Coulson in Avengers, I was like, holy shit, that's actually someone who's died and I care about.
Yeah.
But I don't think they would do it. In Avengers, when we were watching Avengers, the second one, Age of Ultron, I was like, Hawkeye is going to die. Or Hawkeye's wife was going to die or something like that.
Yeah.
None of that happened.
But
Hawkeye's wife is definitely dying at some point.
Yeah.
Been established for
a longer wife, reason. Children, Hawkeye himself. Yeah.
That's a bigger reason.
Yeah.
I tell you what you mean. But there's going to be a time where some of these guys stop doing what they're doing, and I think then they'll take that decision to at least one of them. Once someone's a deal is expended,
I just think I never trust. I just don't trust that they have... Even Bucky, do you know what I mean? I know that was for a reason.
If someone's contract is expired, that's not even having balls. That's actually just impactful solution.
But it's important to note that a lot of these characters are killed in the comics, because these are comics that have been going on for decades. Hmm. What you're dealing with now is generations of children who are growing up on these movies. For you to kill one of their characters, maybe their favorite Avenger that they've grown up with, solely in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
I think if contracts end, it will be a very much round off the end of a section of films, and some of them go their own ways. I don't think they would ever kill for Hawkeye, maybe.
Do you know what's really weird, right? So one of my favorite big blockbuster franchises is Fast and the Furious.
Really?
I think they're good films.
You should mention it.
I think they're fun films, right? And but you know what's like interesting with Marvel? I feel like I'm always hearing about their contracts, and I'm hearing about like so and so saying they've got this many films left. So and so, like with Vin Diesel, right? And the man can do no wrong in my eyes. It's fair enough. But you never hear of him like going, "Oh, is Vin Diesel going to be coming back?" No, Vin Diesel loves that franchise. Like it's with all of his heart. Like,
yeah.
It always feels.
What else he got going on?
Last Witch Hunter. Maybe that could be a new franchise for him.
And also,
does Vin Diesel not want to be in like one of the biggest franchises in the world?
I have a feeling like the planning and structure and preparation for Fast and the Furious isn't quite the same as being
level
a
of planning.
Part. Yeah, you probably have to plan like years in advance of your entire life. Whereas, like, I'm sure Fast and the Furious is like,
get a car.
It's like, hey, we're doing another one.
Yeah.
We've got a road. Awesome. We've got a car.
Have we got
a rock up to.
We've got a title for this one now. Budget, we'll think of it on the way there.
How dare you?
How very dare you?
No, but do you know what I mean? There's nobody in the Marvel universe, the cinematic universe, that I feel like loves being in that universe.
Oh,
I
no.
I think they all love it. They all love it.
Who likes being in a Marvel film?
Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, Anthony Mackie. Nah. I think so.
Not as much as Vin Diesel.
Oh, but like, are we quantifying
this? What does that even mean?
I'm sure Robert Downey Jr. gets home at night and sees the seven houses. It's but I'm going, I actually quite like this.
Yeah.
Chris Evans, like, from all like, I do think he's like learned, like, he's got to a point where he actually does like those doing those movies where he didn't initially. I think he bridled against it a bit.
Do you know what?
I listened to that Wiz Khalifa song about 8 times before coming in to record this podcast, and I'm just a bit teary about Fast and the Furious.
Did listen to that song 2016.
I did listen to that song 2016.
I listened to song 2016.
Okay, I got a bit of feedback from Adam Garrick. It says, my name's Adam from Melbourne.
Hi, Adam.
I love Melbourne. It's an amazing place. Any thoughts on why Australia is so poor filmmaking? I can count the number of Aussie films I genuinely like on one hand, namely Waking Fright, Wolf Creek, and Animal Kingdom. That's it. Thoughts? Good films, though, to be fair.
Three.
Like, I don't know. Like, The Proposition, that's really good. I really like that. The Rover. Also really good. I really like Animal Kingdom is a fantastic film.
Romper Stomper.
Oh, that's a film.
Wrote down
Australia.
Chopper.
Yeah, that's a good film.
Those are really good crime movies Australia makes.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like, I don't know, if you haven't got like an infrastructure where they're making like a shitload of like high budget and stuff like that films, like you want to be the people who are making just the cool.
Yeah, they like, yeah.
You know, like they make a lot of like really good like Animal Kingdom is a hard film, but there's some really funny moments in that as well. Like it's a really horrible like black comedy sort of thing.
A lot of films like, shoot there as well because of tax breaks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got decent crews.
Like lots of the prequels. Like I don't know, they've got like amazing actors as well.
Yeah.
Like Eric Bana is always really good. I know like he's criminally underused, but he's one. And I think like What's in My Job
is that an Aborigine
from Animal Kingdom and The Gift?
Guy Pearce.
No, I didn't mean to say no like that. Then, not Taron Egerton.
Turn it into a quiz.
The Gift. Turn into a quiz. Like he's really good as well.
When in doubt, turn it into a quiz.
Yeah.
Do you have any feedback? No. Quiz time.
I mean, I've just seen this feedback, but off the top of my head, I wish Wales was making those. Like, I'd got the films under its belt that Australia has.
Snowtown.
Oh my god, that's horrible.
Dark City.
Dead Calm. Awesome. Brilliant.
Lots of stuff.
Lots of good films.
So, final bit of feedback is from Paul Mason. Now, I haven't been on the podcast for a few weeks, and this email came in, and I'm not really sure what this is about, but I wanted...
Is it about Cat and Fiddle Road?
It's called... Yeah, Cat and Fiddle.
Oh, Christ.
Is this about?
What is Cat and Fiddle? Can you illuminate me?
Did this keep going? I haven't been
what
on
is this?
Since I haven't heard this mentioned since the first time, like weeks ago.
I feel like this is
okay. Let me read it.
It's like a bit of a wind up now.
As a local,
like the road itself.
Is he catching people who are doing the podcast that weren't on the previous episode? So we think it's a thing. As a local to the area, I need to clarify the mass confusion over the cat. Yeah, well, you've added to it. If anything,
the confusion is none of us know where this started.
The
or
Cat
where it's
and
come
Fiddle
from.
Is a stretch of road linking Buxton, Derbyshire, to Macclesfield, Cheshire. If you really want to stretch it, you can say that it links Sheffield and Manchester. But that's pushing it, in my honest opinion.
I think we know that.
It is infamous for multiple biker deaths, as it has a great number of bends, etc.
Hang on, we read this one out last week.
I'm pretty sure that
this has only come for a few days ago.
What?
There is a pub there that bikers love, and it is the highest pub in the UK, I believe. Paul Mason.
I can't be right.
People gotta stop writing about the Cat and Fiddle, because what, do you know, this is what's happening. Like, it's like the Zelda timeline now, because I think someone sent a bit of email in, someone who knew what this was about. Someone sent an email in, somebody on the podcast who knew what it was about answered it, and then...
Are we just being a relay for people having chats our feedback?
Like, I think
just
it's like,
talk among yourselves.
It's like Red Dragon.
This latest bit of email says, Dave, put the kettle on, I'll be home at 5. So, Dave, if you're listening, sort that out.
I came into the studio one day, and Rory had his top off, and on his back, he just had a big tattoo of a cat and a fiddle.
I'm part of the Alliance, yeah.
I think that's what it is. He's
hitting himself.
What if this podcast is become like a way of serial killers contacting each other?
Oh, crap.
That's what I meant by Red Dragon.
Not again.
Yeah. What if that's what's happening with the Cat and the Fiddle stuff? Like, every other letter.
And this is from Paul Zodiac
Don't
Mason.
Don't eat out!
Oh, no,
I said the keyword. Every time I say...
You've activated the Venturian.
If you say cat and you say fiddle, people die.
Yeah.
Along... somewhere in Sheffield, somewhere in Manchester. I've given them locations. Oh, no.
You know what we have to do now? We have to do a live podcast from that pub. The highest pub in the UK.
Oh, no.
If we don't die on the way.
It's too late.
We need to go Google Buxton and Macclesfield to make sure everyone's all right.
Everyone's not dead.
Mass murder, the Cat and the Fiddle.
Like, I don't know what the Cat and Fiddle is thing anymore. It's beyond me.
Right.
It's like a John Le Carre book by this
point. We were looking for a new podcast name, Cat and Fiddle.
I'll go with that.
You sounded really skeptical, and it just resolved itself.
As good as anything we've
come. Hey, welcome to Cat and Fiddle.
Yeah, it's like a little
Cat.
Pub.
He's Fiddle.
I almost wrecked it. Yeah. All right, that's the podcast for this week. What a load of fun. Right? We'll be back next week. Thank you very much for listening and watching.
See you later.
Nowadays, trends and news cycles change faster than we can blink. But there are some things that withstand the test of time. And if you're looking for a connection to something timeless, and maybe also a glimpse of life at a slower pace, I believe everyone can relate to the very human experiences explored in Jane Austen's novels. And that's where I come in. My name is Alison Larkin. I'm a writer, comedian, and narrator and host of The Jane Austen Podcast with Alison Larkin. I spent a lot of my childhood in the part of England where Jane Austen lived and wrote, and now that I live in the States, nothing gives me a sense of homecoming quite like narrating her books. On this show, you'll listen to award-winning narration. I'll give myself a pat on the back for that. As well as conversations with actors, writers, and other fascinating people who all share a passionate love for Jane Austen. So please, join me as we embark on a wonderful journey through Jane Austen's work. Be sure to listen and subscribe to The Jane Austen Podcast with Alison Larkin, wherever you get your podcasts.